Don't worry, I wasn't going to run out. Good morning. Happy New Year. Man, what a morning. I didn't know it did all of this stuff overnight. I guess that happens in Rochester and New York, Western New York, and I should be used to it, but I'm not. But anyway, it was kind of tough getting here this morning. That's all right, I'm here. I'm excited to be here, I really am. I haven't preached in the new facility, this looks great. Y'all should be excited about that. Maybe a few of you guys, just a couple people excited, or is all of you guys excited about it? God is good, ain't he? He is. He's amazing. I don't know how much time I got, but I'll go and he'll signal me or do something. We got to get a bigger pulpit here. All right, stop. Don't start messing right away, Mr. Jones. I have to talk to myself here, you know. But anyway, give me a minute. I'm going to get around to what I want to say. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I really am. Excuse me a minute. I'm trying to sit this somewhere without kicking it over. Well, these are exciting times, isn't it? Let me say that again. I got a couple of you guys over here, but let me tell you, these are exciting times, isn't it? It really is. And when you're looking at things from God's perspective, you should be excited. If you're alive and in the kingdom and you're seeing what God sees, you should be excited. If not, then you need to repent. You know what repentance means biblically? It means change your mind, change the way you're thinking. If we can get the way we're thinking changed, we can get our direction changed. The biblical word repentance, metanoia, doesn't mean turn and go another way. There's another Greek word for that. The biblical word means change the way you think. So you can turn and go the other way. That's what Peter said in Acts 3:19. Repent and turn so that the times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. So we have got to repent and turn, but we can't turn unless we think different. And God is constantly calling us to think differently. That's why he said in Romans 12, renew your mind. So we should be a people, a kingdom people that live a lifestyle of repentance, biblically speaking, which means we should be constantly changing the way we think. Because God moves in seasons. Daniel 2 says that. He changed the times and the epochs, which is the word seasons. And then he start changing leadership, and then he start revealing things in different seasons. But if we don't change the way we're thinking from season to season with God, then that's where we get stuck. And that's where we begin to look at things from the wrong perspective. And there's a scripture, I'm going to get to it in a minute, in 1 Corinthians. I was just quick into this during worship. Let me slow down because I really want to share a couple, I believe, very important things starting out in this new year. And the first one is we need to think differently. And the last 2 years, we've all been in a challenge. The whole world been in a challenge. And this pandemic and all of this uprising in the street, this violence, none of this stuff took God by surprise. Hello, nothing took God by surprise. He knew it was coming, and he's not in heaven trying to figure out what to do. He He's not trying to figure, he has an answer for everything. He's not trying to figure out what to do with your life. He knows exactly what he wants to do with your life. Do you know? That's the key. He knows exactly why he created you. He knows exactly the vision that he's put in you, the purposes in which he called you to. He knows exactly what it is. But too many Christians are too busy to find out what it is. And that's why we stay in a mess. That's why we confused. That's why we be frustrated, because we're not taking time with the Lord to find out what he, why he's created you and what he's put in you. Your kingdom assignment is what I call it. Once you discover why you here, every human being trying to figure that out, by the way. Why am I here? Have you asked that question lately? Even as Christians, we're trying to figure that out as Christians, because a lot of us don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. And that's why we just go through religious exercise, because we don't know that. We don't know why we're in the kingdom. We don't know what God has called us to do in the kingdom. And so we try to do everything. Jack of all trades, but mastering nothing. God has put something in each one of us that he wants us to master. Master it. He's given you gifts that he wants you to master those gifts. And they're gifts of the Spirit. They're divine gifts. They're supernatural gifts. We are a supernatural people. Every human being on the face of this earth is supernatural, because they've been created in the image and likeness of God, who is the God of who's supernatural. You go back in Genesis 1, if you study those words, create, he uses the word for mankind. That's the same word he uses for creating everything else. This word bara is only used for God. I create something out of nothing is what it means. I call forth something that's not there. Let there be, and there it is. Let there be, that's all he says, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. And there it was. It wasn't there until he said, let it be. And the same thing with man. The person you're looking at up here is not the real person. None of you, I'm looking at, the real person is inside, the spirit. Every one of us, now this is going to mess with some of you guys, and I'm not a new ager, so okay? I'm not in the cult. I'm into the Bible. Every one of you are spirits. Oh man, who am I preaching to anybody this morning? Every one of us are spirit beings. Because God is spirit, John 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He said, God is spirit. Now you go back in Genesis, if God is spirit and we're created like him without being him, then what that makes us? We have a soul. We can think. We can feel. And we can act. And so God then formed this part of me, this part of you, from the dust of the ground, which something that was already created, he created the earth. And he decided, okay, I got to put this spirit in something so they can operate down there in earth. Why? Because he's given us dominion over the earth. He told us to rule down here from his rim. And I said, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to give you everything you need to rule down in the earth. Psalms 115 tells us that. He said, the heavens are mine, but the earth I've assigned to man. Mankind is the word, male and female. Are y'all with me? So we're spirits. And so he formed from the dust this part. And when he got to me, he figured he'd get some brown dust. He had to get some little color in there. Glory to God. So he formed this, and when you look at it in Genesis, it says it stood there with no life until God said, and then he became a living being. So we came out of God. Let me say that again. We came out of God. You need to get this. I'm telling you. We came out of God. We were already in God before he ever created us. We were already in his being. This is a powerful revelation. If you go meditate on it and get it, you're going to be transformed into who you really are. And then you'll be able to do some damage to the kingdom of hell. You won't fear demons. You won't fear hell's agenda. In fact, you'll be walking in authority over it, because that's what he said. I'm going to give you rulership. You're going to have dominion. You're going to have rulership. Your circumstances is not supposed to rule you. It's not supposed to dictate what you think, how you feel, and how you act. The reason why that happens is believers don't know who they are. They saved going to heaven, but they don't know who they are down here walking. And so everything come their way, shake them. Steal their peace. Because they don't know who they are. That's why the devil can steal people's peace. But when you know you who you are, you will walk in confidence in anything that come our way. And you will not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. That's interesting, because that word power is, the word love is God's love. The word power there is dunamis power, miraculous power, miracle working power. Why? Because God's a miracle worker. We should be miracle workers too, because we are like our daddy. He created us to be like him. He created us to think like him, to function like him in this realm called earth. And he won't get involved until we involve him. He created, he set it up that way. No man did, he did. Any spirit is illegal in the earth without being in a body. Demons can't function in the earth without being in a body. Holy Spirit won't function. He needs a body. He needs a body. And he needs us to understand this. And he's given us all we need to get the job done. He's given us authority. He's given us power. Authority is the legal right from God to use the power that he's given you. Oh man, I just said something there. Authority is the legal right from God to use the power that he's given you and rule over every demonic situation down here in this earth realm. And that coming into your life. The devil can take over people's marriages and homes because they let him. Christians let him. Those that's out there in darkness don't know, but Christians should, we're in the light. We should know. And we should know what to do with this stuff. I'm sorry to yell. I'm not mad at you, but I am mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at what he's doing. See, when you start understanding who you are, do you know Jesus got mad at him? Jesus was, I don't want to go there, but Jesus was furious. I like what one of our intercessors said. Jesus wasn't no punk. So why are we punking out? I like that, because I'm from the hood. I like that kind of talk. We're going into this year. The first thing I want you to get is get with God and understand who you are in him. Understand Psalms 139 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by your creator, and you're made in his image and his likeness. You study those words in Genesis for create there, you're going to find there's different words. And one is when he says we created in his image, And his likeness, it means his nature, his character. We're just, listen, Adam was so much like, this is amazing. Adam was so much like God without being God. That's a powerful revelation. He was so much like God. God created him this way without being God. He got God stuck before the fall. He had no problems thinking like God before the fall. He had no problems feeling what God felt before the fall. Him and God's heart was entwined together because he came out of God. He knew God's thoughts like that. He walked through, he knew everything he was doing there, he was doing from the mind of Christ. And he started governing the earth from the mind of God. Dominion. That's what we need first and foremost to understand who we really are, people. And that's what your enemy is fighting the hardest against you. He don't want you to know who you are. He's been succeeding at that too long to keep us out of knowing who we are. You are dangerous and you don't know it. Let me say that again. You are dangerous and you don't know it, but you're going to find it out. Let me put another word in there. You really are armed and dangerous. Because he armed us. Okay. 1 Corinthians, I got this for you. Verse 2. Let me just start at 6 because I'll come back to one of those verses. And I'm already ahead, and I'm just going to go ahead with a couple things that I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to do these 9 pages I got up here. I'm already on the first one anyway. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me start at verse 6. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Notice he says this, to our glory. This is wisdom God and mysteries that God held up for us, for our glory. Verse 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God had prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man, of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That we may know the things that's freely given to us by God. Now, what is Paul saying there? He's talking about all these mysteries and these hidden things from the world that's revealed to us for our glory. And he says, yes, it's a mystery, but that doesn't mean it cannot be made known. It's made known by the Spirit of God to us. So if you're not in intimate relationship with the Spirit of God, you're not going to know what's for you. You're not going to know what God has freely given you, because it's revealed by the Spirit. Things which we speak not of the words taught of human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Everybody say, taught by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual works. Oh my goodness, I knew I was going to do that. Maybe that's prophetic or something. I don't know. Sorry. All right, things taught by the Spirit. Now, verse 14, look at what he says. And this is going to reveal the problem. Because we think it's all the devil, and I'm not giving him credit. He is taking advantage. And I'm going to show you why right here, why he's taking advantage. This is why he takes advantage. Verse 14. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or discerned. That's the problem right there. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, let me just say this, and I'll say a couple more things and then pray for you. But I really feel like the Lord impressed upon me strongly that they need to know who they are going in this year. I want to reveal to them who they are, who they really are. So Paul says in verse 14, here's the problem why people don't know who they are. Because you're spiritual, and this is all about a spiritual walk with God that impacts the physical natural realm. That's how the kingdom of God works. He impacts things from the spirit realm. He moves his kingdom rule from the spirit realm into this natural realm and bring this natural realm in alignment with his spiritual realm. Right? So Paul says, these are mysteries, things that God has freely given us. But he says, it's made known to us by the Spirit. And he says, the natural man, which is your spirit, you have a soul and a body. So the natural man there he's talking about is when Adam fell all the way, he's taking them all the way back to the garden, to the fall. So when Adam fell, when he sinned against God, he lost the mind of God. That's why he automatically kicked in the glory that was covering him, lifted. That's why they could see that they were naked. They had no clothes on. They had glory on. Oh, the glory of God was their clothes. That's why they couldn't discern they were naked. All of that he lost, but thank God the second Adam, Christ, came and restored it to us. Even the mind of Christ. You know what the mind of Christ is? We're walking around with the mind of Christ and don't know it. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit in us is the mind of Christ. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us who's God. We're walking around with God in us and don't know it half of the times he's there. So why are you looking for God everywhere else? You got him in you if you're a believer and filled with the Spirit. That's what Jesus said when they say kingdom come and things happen. He said, don't run out there and run that the kingdom is in you. Everything you need is in you. And it's time you let him out of you. Let me say it again. It's time we let him out. But see, this natural man who Paul says, which is the fallen nature, because Paul wrote all about this in Romans and his letters. He wrote all about what I'm talking about. If you study this, go in depth in it, and it's amazing. He wrote all about the Spirit and the spiritual blessings we have in Ephesians in the heavenly places. He wrote all about this heavenly places, that we're there, we're seated there with Christ. You know, we're walking in this earth, but we're seated there. We're already seated with him, and we got God in us, these mysteries, and he's saying these are mysteries that they can be made known. Just because it's a mystery doesn't mean that God can't reveal the mystery. And he says, I have all of this for my children to reveal these mysteries. He said, but this natural man, which he wrote about in Romans, is the fallen nature of Adam. You said, wait a minute, did Jesus deal with that at the cross? Yes, he did. But you still have it walking around.
And this is why you understand Jesus when he starts saying stuff like, you need to die daily. He said, I done took everything you at the cross. I done defeated it. He said, but you have a cross that you have to bear. You have to get that natural man on that cross daily. Because that natural man is the fallen nature of Adam that still want to sin, that still want to go against God. You know why? Paul says it. He cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. He can't understand it. He doesn't accept it. And that natural nature of Adam and you doesn't accept it. But Peter went on to say, you have a divine nature too, which is the Holy Spirit. He said, you got God's divine nature in you. You got God in you. So we got to learn going into this year how to live by the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, and kill this natural guy that can't understand Holy Spirit. That's why Holy Spirit will say something to you and that natural man in you. You know what he'll do? He'll talk you out of a miracle. He'll talk you right out of your blessing because he doesn't understand the Spirit. This is why you get people in churches, they fight the move of God. And then we blame demons. Yeah, the demons are there locking right into them that's fighting the will of God. God's trying to break things open, bring revival, and then we'll pray for revival and then fight it when it comes. That's stupid. Am I right? We'll pray for healing and then we fight God on how he want to do it. People do this. Christians do this. I love you, but I got to tell you the truth in love. That natural man fight God. He fight the Spirit of God. And he'll stop your miracle. Because he don't understand how God's going to work it. And gotta do something that'll always go against your logic. He'll mess you up. That's why you understand why Jesus would, here's Almighty God, he would heal people the way he did. He spit in mud and make mud pies and put on eyes and heal them. Figure that out. You can't. The natural man can't. But it was a spiritual act because Jesus did it. Did some things that was foolish. God's about to offend that natural man big time. Because he want a move of his spirit. He wants your divine nature. He wants you living in your divine nature. Paul said it's foolishness to him. And he's not saying that nature Adam one day going to be redeemed and he's going to get it. No, he's done. That's why it's the divine nature you got to live by. That's the nature that God has put in you. When you accepted him in his spirit. And he say, you got to now live by that and kill that guy every day. Shut him up. Some of y'all right now, I can tell he's talking to you, that Adamic nature, that idiot. He's an idiot. That's what it means. Foolishness. I'm not trying to call you an idiot, but let me tell you what the Bible says about that nature. I'm serious. It's right there. You go into Greek, you know what that word foolishness? This is what the apostle told the church. He said a divine nature, that guy is foolishness. Did he not? It's right there. I just read it. You can read it. He say, it's foolishness to him, the things of the Spirit of God. Now, you know what that word foolish mean in the Greek? It's where we get our word moron, mora. It's moron. He say that the fallen nature of Adam, who can't understand the things of the Spirit, he say, listen, every person on the face of the earth is carrying a moron in them. They're stupid and dull. These are Greek words, meanings. When it comes to the things of the Spirit of God. Go look it up. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. It's right there. God said it. I got one in me. I got to kill mine every day. And every now and then that sucker rises. Oh, can I say that in church? Sucker? Every now and then he rises up. And it causes me to miss what the Spirit of God is bringing my way. I'm going to get him. I'm going to chop his head off. He ain't gonna keep talking me out of miracles. But when you talk about this, when I first heard this teaching, I got offended. And you know what God says? That's that natural man in you. He's offended. And God told me, I'm gonna offend him even more until you get him dead. Till you kill him every day like I tell you. So you can live by the Spirit. And then you can walk in revelation. Because if you're living by the Spirit of God, you're going to be walking in revelation. And every circumstance come your way, you're going to have revelation to deal with it. That's what God wants. That's what he wants for every one of his kids. Not some superstar preachers and all of this stuff. They just got it one day. God want that for you. For everybody in this room, that's what God want. He want all of us operating in the supernatural. Healing people. Casting demons out of people. God want every one of us. This is basic Christianity. He took these ordinary men and made them supernatural. They were ordinary. They were foul mouthed cussing fishermen and everything else. Were they not? But they got a hold of this revelation of who Christ said they were in him. And it transformed them. It took some of them some time. They had to work the process. They had to die daily. Going into this year, God wants you to learn to die daily and live by his divine nature in you. That he put in you. And watch what happens. Watch what happens in the supermarket. Watch what happens on your job. Watch what happens in your neighborhood. Because you're going to be letting God out. It'll transform your home. It'll transform your relationship. I got a lot more to say around that, but all right. I guess my time is almost up. I think. I don't know where I'm at. But let me give you one or two more scriptures I got during worship. He took me in a whole different direction. He just wants you to learn to be who you are in him. That's a whole teaching on this stuff. I spent hours studying this, hours. And you know, we're going to have to get this because we've been stuck, folks. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to be harsh or hard on purpose, but when you go read Jesus in the scripture and how he dealt with his disciples, because he knew he had to raise these guys up to be and do what he had assigned them to be and do, what he created them to be and do, because he was getting ready to leave earth. And God is want his people to get this. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is how the world is going to change. They don't care nothing about our ideas, our opinions. Because they've been looking at the church of Jesus Christ and seeing that we've been just as messed up as they've been. The divorce level in the church, and I'm not trying to be cruel. If you went through a divorce, God bless you. You repent and get married again if you want. He forgives you. But what I'm saying, they've been looking at their condition, the addictions, and everything they're going through, and they see the same thing in the church. I'm just being real. And so they saying, well, that looks like me. That I did it for years. I ain't going to no church. Them people can't set me free from nothing, I used to say. I was an addict. What am I going to go there? Until I found some real Christians who knew the divine nature and the power of God and cast demons out of me. I came in an encounter with the power of the Holy Ghost operating through somebody who knew they had that power and know how to get it released to deal with what I was struggling with. Because no program could fix it. Nobody's opinion, nobody's ideas can fix it. I mean, you know, we get hit with a pandemic. It took us by surprise. It didn't take God by surprise. But I'm angry, frustrated. I was angry, frustrated, and everything else for the last couple years. But I wasn't fearful. And I didn't bow to these demon-possessed politicians who are going to force me to do something. I don't know why the church, I didn't pastor a church, I didn't have a church. We didn't even have to close up. But nobody, you know, it took us all by surprise, I get that, but don't let them do it again. Because they're gonna try to do it again. They're already trying to do it again. See, that's how Satan works, because they're under the control of Satan. Satan wants to oppress. and want to take freedoms away from us. God-given freedoms. And God is telling his people, listen, if you want me involved in that, then you do what I tell you to do. You have faith, you release your faith, you believe, and you stand up, and then I'll come back you up. Because he sent the disciples out, and this is what we're going to have to get. And they were up against the same stuff we are, and he equipped them, and he sent them out to do what he told them to do. He gave them instructions. In Matthew 10, you can find it in the other gospel, but it says he called them to himself. And he gave them authority over all the power of the enemy, of the devil. All the power. Now notice he say, I'm going to give you authority over his power. Why? Because Satan only has authority over you to the degree you give it to him. To the degree you allow him to put fear in you, and he's going to strip you of that authority, and he's going to rule over you. Your family and everything else, our cities, our communities, to the degree we give it to him, believers, folks, to the degree we submit to him, that's the degree he's going to rule us illegally because we letting him. So this COVID thing hit me twice. And both times, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do all I could, get rest. One time it hit me, I couldn't go to work. I was down, and I'm shandaba kasate de boko. Barely can talk, laying on the bed. Oh, but she de boda, baba. My spirit was active, stayed active. That's the key to anything. You got to keep your spirit active. And all of a sudden, things start breaking. And I knew what the scripture say that I have authority over that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that's a spirit. And it ain't going to just go away. It's going to go away when the church rise up and rule over it. They did that in Florida, and all of a sudden the numbers suddenly dropped way down, lowest in the nation. When the intercessory movement down there rose up, one of the apostles down there has developed this prayer strategy against COVID. Against that demon that's driving that. And then you get demon-possessed politicians get on and want to strip people of their job and come up with all this stuff to cause you to fear. And by the way, they're lying about it. It's a lying spirit behind this as well. They twisted and lying about everything. And see, some of you have been captured by that. I know that. But we're going to break that this morning. Some of you, this is why you can't see right. Because you're listening to demonic news. You're not seeing from God's perspective. God called the prophet Ezekiel, put him in the graveyard and said, what do you see? Say, can them bones live? Listen, the prophet was seeing dry bones, but God was seeing an army. God was seeing that I'm going to make them dry bones an army. I'm going to put flesh on them. I'm going to raise them up. See, this is what happens with us. Even in Jeremiah 29, God says, I got a plan for you to prosper you, getting you hope, a future. The devil will get on there and tell you, he'll start telling you you're going to die and all kinds of stuff. You're not going to fulfill your call. He'll lie to you, folks. You can't listen to those lying spirits. Some of you, he's lying to you. And this is why you're having a problem. Seen from God's perspective about your life. You're struggling because you're listening to the wrong news. We got heaven's news. You get that word and get in it. That's heaven's news. That's God's news. And it's totally different than this demonic stuff that's floating around the atmosphere. And coming through your TV and telling you all kind of lies. And see, we got to get God's word this year deep in us so we see from his perspective. And we judge everything from his perspective. And we don't cower in fear. I've been witnessing on my job big time to believers and unbelievers. I got believers, fearful, coming to me. They were just coming. What do I do? We're going to lose our job. They told us we were going to, you got to a deadline to get the vaccine. If you got it, that's your choice, but I choose not to because they lying about that too. It's not hard to figure it out. Let me tell you how you know they lying. Anytime you got to take my freedoms and control me to get something, you're lying about something. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Anytime you want to take my choice that God gives me, that God himself won't take from me, God gives us the right to choose. So the devil wants to take that right. And it's time this year you rise up and say, no, the buck's, you stop right here. You're not taking any right. You're not taking any more freedom. So they come to me, you know, even the believers. Some of them got it. I said, that's your choice. So they come to me. I said, look, you come to me. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, then don't come to me. I'm going to speak it in love. So they said, are you going to get the vaccine to keep your job? I said, no way. I said, I'm not going to allow the devil to control my life like that. I said, I serve a God who opened this door. If you want to close it right now, he can close it. He got another one open that's better than this one. Just simple, childlike faith, believing the word of God. Several of them compromised. And then I told them, I said, hold out. I said, trust God. Yeah, but. No. No yeah, buts. When you trust in God, you're trusting God. You're throwing yourself on the mercy of God. And that's it. And let him work it out for you. But he just required you to believe. Jesus said, just believe. He didn't give you seven steps. He said, just believe. He gave us one thing to do. Believe. Believe I am the Son of God and who I said, believe my word. And all hell come at you when you do that. To get you in unbelief. To get you to doubt what God has says. And so one day they came to me and out of my mouth I say, you know, I said, Lord, well, what did I say to them? He said, tell them that my blood is enough. I said, wow. Okay. I told him, I said, so you guys going to believe these demon possessed politicians over the word of God? I said, here's what God said to you. His blood is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. It dealt with everything. When you don't know that and you give in to fear, you do whatever these demons possessed people tell you to do and intimidate you to do. The blood is enough. And see, we got to get back to the cross and the blood. When the last time you looked at the blood of Jesus in scripture? When the last time you heard a sermon on the blood of Jesus? You ain't saved without it. You ain't healed without it. You ain't sanctified. You ain't delivered without it. The blood is enough. Going into this year, you need to know the blood is enough. Because there's more stuff coming. And if you compromise now, and you don't stand on the blood of Jesus now, and the word of God now that he has defeated the enemy, then you're going to be in trouble down the road. You're going to be shaken. If you get that deep in you, you will not be shaken. And you will not walk around in fear. The Hebrew boys, you remember those guys? Shadrach, Meshach, call them Benny Goat. Billy Goat or whatever. That's exactly what, was it Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow to the image. See, there's all kind of images, and this is exactly what the enemy's trying to do in this nation. You bow to my image. You bow to what I want. Everybody else bowing, and they were life, and their life was threatened. We're going to throw you in the furnace, and I'll be done here. A couple more points, and I want to pray. We're going to throw you in the furnace, and then they said, "Turn it up." What, seven times hotter or something like that? Turn it up. To the point where the ones throwing them in there got killed by it. And I love what these boys says. If God don't save us, that's okay, basically. We're not bound to that. If we die trusting Jesus and our God, so be it. It's his will. So throw us in there. And this is the interesting thing about God. He'll let you go right to in the furnace. He could have stopped it at any time. No, God just let it go right on. I'll see what these boys are going to do if they really going to believe what they've been saying. They've been preaching about me, witnessing about me, but let me see if they believe it. I'm going to let them go right in that furnace. And they believed it. Wait a minute. I looked in there. There's a fourth man in there. Those boys ain't getting burned. They walking around in there praising and fellowshipping. Four of them. We threw three of them in there, but there's four of them. See, God would get in the fire with you if you go in faith. Oh, glory, God. God would get in the fire with you if you go in faith in him. And he'll bring a great deliverance. They're going to be great deliverance this year. They're going to be great deliverance, but you got to believe it. You got to be willing to go through the furnace in faith and let him deliver you to the point where they didn't even smell like smoke. That was a supernatural deliverance. Just because they say, we're going to die believing God. Y'all with me? All right, I think I got to stop here. Man, I went a totally different direction, but that's the way the Holy Spirit wanted me to go. God's trying to get you, start your year knowing who you are in him and believing that he is who he say he is and that he will reward you. Hebrews 11:6, about faith. Those that come to God must first believe that he is. He is who he say he is. And it's not just an intellectual belief. It's a heart belief. You got to have that deep in you. He is who he say he is. He's not going to lie about who he say he is. And then it says, and believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You need to go into this year diligently seeking the Lord and believing in you, he's who he is, and that he's going to reward your faith in him and what he can do and who he say he is. Amen. I got time to pray. All right. I don't know. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I'm not going to keep you. A lot of this teaching is a whole series. I'm just giving you the foundation of it. You can't move on into the other stuff until you get this right. Who am I in Christ? You know, Jesus came in Matthew 16. He came to his disciples. He came into this region of Caesarea Philippi. And he turned to his disciples. And everyone in here gonna have to answer these two questions. I'm gonna give them to you. One Jesus asked, another one the demon asked. Yeah, you're gonna have to answer this question this demon asked, and I tell you why. They came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and I don't know, they must have believed in reincarnation in that region because he asked his disciples, who do they say I am in this region? It's like he walking in Iowa and saying, coming up to you, you got, who do men say I am around here? He's testing the atmosphere, the mindset of the community. Who are they saying I am? Oh, they say you this prophet here, that prophet came back. They're saying that. And then he turned to his disciples who had been following him, who didn't know who he really is for a while. And then they got the revelation. He said, who do you say I am? Let me ask you, who do you say Christ is? Who do you say he is? And I'm not talking about intellectual, a right scriptural answer. a right religious answer. Because we all can do that. We know what the scriptures say. We can say what Peter said, but Peter got the revelation and the conviction. Can you say it from a revelation and conviction? Can you say it from something that's so deep in you? Who is Christ to you?
He's God!
Amen. Who is he to you? And you need to know who he is to you personally. Personally. Who is he to you personally? And I'm not talking about who he was to you when you got saved. I'm not even talking about who he is to you from last year. Who is he revealing himself to you now? Because if you look at the patriarch's life, especially Abraham, he kept getting different revelations of who God was to him as he walked with him. God would reveal himself there. God reveals himself differently in different seasons. So if you just know him from last season, well, who is he to you this season? That's going to be what carry you through the year. Who is he revealing himself to me now? Or else we're just going to think God is just this, okay, he's my savior. Yeah, he is. But he's more than that. Find out who he is to you personally. In Acts, I think it's 19 or somewhere around there. You remember the story. Paul, and after he casting out demons and stuff and doing extraordinary miracles. And this group called the Seven Sons of Sceva was watching this. And they decide they want to do what Paul doing. Not out of relationship. Not out of knowing God. They didn't even know God. They wasn't even committed to God like Paul. So they want to do it, and they're going to approach a demon. You know the story. I adjure you, come out in the name of Jesus who Paul preached. Folks, it don't work like that. Paul know him. The demons say, well, we know Jesus, and we know Paul, too. But we don't know you. The demons say, who are you? You're going to have to answer that question. Who are you? Who are you in Christ that will cause demons to flee? What is your testimony of who you are in Christ that when you face every demonic situation this year that you can stand in the face and command that to leave because of who you are in Christ? Not who Pastor Tim is or some other person. Who are you? Do you know who you are? God wants you to know these things going into this year. Now, some of y'all, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to get out of the way, right? Now, if you struggle, if you got hit, and listen, there's no condemnation. I'm just confrontational like this. This is me. I'm like this personally. I'm like this not even being in a pulpit. I'm like this at home. My wife have to always tell me, you don't have to yell. We all sitting right here. I said, oh, okay, honey. I'm sorry, honey. She's, you know, I'm just like this. I'm passionate about this stuff. But if you struggling, you came through this season and these last few years, even up until last year at this point, where you say, brother, I got to be honest before the Lord. And you're not saying it to me or you're not coming to me. And you're saying, I want this fear broken off of me that I've been under. I want you to come up to the Lord. You come up here. If you're struggling with that, you know you're struggling, you having a problem shaking this fear that's been just rampant. It could be you could have lost your job. You're fearful of provision. You're fearful of some sickness coming on you that's out here. Some people fearful of this COVID. They won't even come out. They living in confined and they being tormented because fear has torment. Some of you are being tormented. Now, I'm not going to beg you to come. Thank you for coming, young man. Come over here. It's up to you to come. You're not coming to me. You're coming to Christ. But I know there's some here. I know what the Holy Spirit telling me. He wants to deal with this torment over his people. He wants to set them free from this fear because it's tormenting. It's crippling. It's paralyzing. It will stop you from being who Christ wants you to be this year. Don't go into this year fearing. Go into this year with faith. Just believe God. You're his sons and daughters. You're his children. He's a good father. He's a good father. He takes care of his children. He doesn't want his children walking around in fear. He's given us everything. He's a provider. He knows your needs. He knows how to take care of you. He's the best daddy we have. He knows how to take care of us. He got his eye on the whole world, but yet he's intimate with you personally. Because he's Father. And he want to break that demonic thing that's been over you. Amen. Well, I'm not going to wait too much longer. But I know there's some more of you. And I don't do this to get nobody to the altar either. I don't manipulate. I just know what the Spirit is telling me. And I'm going to wait a few minutes because I know the Spirit's sent me here. But one of the things to do is to break this fear. Because he don't want his children going into fear. At this year into fear. He don't want you starting out like that. Because when you leave, how you leave one season is how you start the other season. And if you leave this season in fear, you're going to start your new year in fear. If you leave the last season in faith, you're going to start your new season in faith. And then you just allow that faith to increase. Amen. Some of you fear for a sickness. I know it. How many struggling with sickness? Nobody? Well, that's amazing. I love that. That's the way it should be. Sister, you got your hand? You struggling with some sickness? Come up so we can pray for you too. No, that's good. I like that. I don't need anybody. I don't need to pray for anybody if they ain't sick. That means y'all doing what y'all supposed to do. That means God's working.
But it's not fear. It's a lack of trust.
Yeah, a lack of trust is an open door for fear. Lack of trust. Lack of trust, unbelief, fear, all that. It's a structure that works together. So. Well, the root of it is fear. We want to go after the root. So just pray this after me. You that's struggling came up for the fear. Let me do it, Dad. We're going to pray for our sister. Let's just, you you in your own words, ask the Lord, because really we don't look at this as sin before God. When he tells us to trust him, when he tells us to believe, when we don't, we disobey his word. And that's what I want you to repent of, disobeying his word to put his trust in him. So you can voice that how you want. I'm not going to give you a prayer to rehearse, but just ask him to forgive you for being disobedient and not walking in faith but fear. I have to do it. And that doesn't mean it's going to stop. The Spirit come, but you keep addressing it. Amen. So just ask him to forgive you. Rest of you guys, just pray. If you all are good, then let's just disagree for these that's up here. Just for a minute. Just for a few minutes. Lord, we thank you for these that have come in response to you, your word, not me, not my word, your word, to say they come in, Lord, before you saying they are not going to go into this year in fear and lack of trust in you. They saying, Lord, that they're going to go into this year. They're going to start their new season, but they throwing themselves at your mercy and believing, Father, in your word and who you are. And who you say and what you say in your word that who you are. And so Lord, they come to before you to do that and commit themselves to you. And Lord, I thank you for them. And Father, right now, I thank you for the anointing that's here to just bind and break the spirit of fear off them. And so I do that in the name of Jesus. I bind and cast out the spirit of fear. I command that spirit of phobia, that spirit of timidity and lack of trust. I command that to leave them now in the name of Jesus. And we just break that power over them that have been driving them and tormenting them. We break that power off of them now, that demonic force off right now in the name of Jesus. And we just command it to go from their lives right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we declare the faith that you have put in them. We say stir up. We just call forth the stirring of the faith of God that's in them, that it will stir up and that it will grow and that it will increase throughout the year.
And Lord, we thank you for the faith that you have put in them. And Father, we say in the name of Jesus now, we just stir up the faith of God in them. It's in them. It's in them. Now we stir it up. We say they're not going to fear anything. They're not going to fear sickness. They're not going to fear a lack of not being provided for. You're going to provide for them supernaturally. So Lord, we release that over them. We stir their faith up. We agree. We agree. We call forth the faith of God. The faith of God that he's put in them. We call it forth now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just stir it up. Come on, help me pray for them. Come on, pray. We stir it up in the name of Jesus. Lord, faith, the trust, faith for healing. In Jesus' name, I'll pray for you some more in a minute. We call forth faith. We stir up her faith. We break off all fear. We say that she's not going to walk in fear. She's going to walk in faith this year. And supernatural faith. Supernatural faith. In the name of Jesus, supernatural faith. Lord, the supernatural faith of God right now, in Jesus' name, a total restoration in his brother's life this year. Total restoration, Father, in the name of Jesus, supernatural faith. Lord, it's in us. It's in us. And we stir it up in Jesus' name. We call it forth. We call it forth now. We say, faith, rise. Faith, rise up. Lord, the faith's going to rise up strong and overcome any attacks of fear this year. In the name of Jesus, we call forth the boldness of God and the faith of God. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this sister. We thank you for the word of God says that above all else, you desire that we prosper and be in good health as our soul prosper. And now we just release right now your anointing to restore her spiritually, physically, in Jesus' name. Lord, that her systems of her body, Father, I declare, I see you cleansing her blood system, her bloodstream. Lord, is going to be cleansed by your blood. We declare cleansing. And Lord, we declare a order of her systems of her body to come into order. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just say that this is a year of wholeness. A wholeness. We release wholeness in her life. We release wholeness. In the name of Jesus, the family members and the generations. And we call it forth now. We break the curse of infirmity, the curse that's been following her bloodline of infirmity and sickness and disorder in her life, in her body, in her family. We break the curse now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We say let that curse break now. It will not follow her anymore in Jesus' name. And we thank you now, Lord. We're setting a new order in her bloodline, in her generations. We call forth the order, a new order, a new order. Being set now, God's divine order in the name of Jesus. And we break those curses off of her now. And we declare by your stripes, she's healed. She's healed. By the blood of Jesus, she's healed. We release your healing, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, let me just pray over this house for a minute. Father, over this house, we thank you for this place. We thank you to set it aside for a move of God, for a spiritual movement of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I just declare that you're going to move strongly in this place. You raised it up. You set it aside. So we just say, Father, this year we declare increase of the move of the Holy Spirit and the unlocking of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we speak vision over this house, increase vision. Lord, I even say where the vision has things have been trying to be sown into it. To distract from the vision, we say, in the name of Jesus, I speak clarity of vision. Clarity in Jesus' name. And we say, Lord, have your way here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Woo! All right. Praise God. You are armed and dangerous, right? You're armed and dangerous, so act like it. God bless. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. Thank you, Leonard, so much.